91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. 32953, our phone number is 321-454-4263, 321-454-4263. If you have any prayer requests or praise reports that you'd like to share with us, that would be incredibly awesome. And if you have prayer requests, we will stand in faith together with you, believing God to answer those requests. So I want to take this opportunity to invite you to our Wednesday night discipleship class. And we meet at 7 p.m. We produce a study guide. We hand that out. It's got fill in the blanks, and we fill in those blanks as we go through the topic. And if you would like to study the various aspects of Christianity, we would love to have you come and be a part of that so that you can be more grounded in your faith and more effective in reaching your community with the love of Jesus Christ. So we have a youth group that meets. They start off with a little bit of game time fellowship, stuff like that. There's some food involved over there. And then they get down to studying the Word. And so here a few weeks ago, I was not the one teaching that particular night, and I had printed out the study guide, and I thought that they had reduced the font size so that it would fit on two pages, 'cause when I printed it out, that's how it came out. And so everybody was teasing me about the font being too small and the lines being too short and things like that. And so I just owned it. And that night I was the recipient of all those jokes, and I was teasing myself about it too. You know, I'm not thin skinned about that. And so after about the 20th joke, I said, you know what? I'm going to go over next door, and I'm going to go hang out with the young people for a little while, because I like to go over there and greet them, because I'm the pastor of the church, not just the adults. I'm the pastor of the kids. I'm the pastor of the young people, the seniors. I'm the pastor. And so even though there's a youth leader over there, I want them to know that they can have a relationship with me. And so I walked over there, and they were eating. I don't remember what they were eating that night. And I said, they're being mean to me over there. So I came over here, and they said, well, we're not going to treat you any better. And it's like, doggone. It's a rough crowd tonight. And so we had a lot of fun. And so I want you to know that we have real relationships, and none of us are puffed up or, you know, untouchable or anything like that. None of us are perfect. And so if we can't make fun of ourselves, we probably shouldn't be making fun of other people. And so I will tell you, I tease myself more than I tease other people, and I tease other people probably a little too much. So anyway, we have a lot of fun. If you'd like to come out and study the Word of God in a fun atmosphere, see you tonight at 7 p.m., 165 North Grove Street. I have included in this study, in Psalm 33, I'm not going to go through the entire psalm, but I do want to look at verses 13, 14, and 15 today. And I want to look at them not so much because of the topic we've been looking at is what happens when God breathes, And what we have been seeing in Psalm 33 is that because God breathed and spoke creation into existence, that it should cause us great rejoicing. And it talks about that God has the credentials, that his counsel is going to be superior, it's going to endure, it's going to be internal. His counsel will make the counsel of nations nothing or of no effect. God stands forever, and the people he has chosen as his own inheritance, blessed is the man whose God is, or blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We've talked about all of that. So if I was going to end there and move on to the next the next verse or passage of scripture in our study, that wouldn't make sense. But when I came across Psalm 33, I was fixated on verses 13, 14, and 15, not because they necessarily tie in that closely with what happens when God breathes, what happens when we're inspired by God, but just because I think that these three verses have some profound things in them that we need to consider. Verse number 13 says this: "The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works." There was a godly philosophy, but it wasn't 100% biblical, that was popular around the time that America was becoming a nation, breaking away as a colony and forming a nation. It had the appearance of godliness, but or of Christianity, but it really wasn't. It was called deism. And deism said that when God created the earth, he kind of wound it up and let it run its course, and he said, I'll be back to check on you later. And that doesn't line up with Christianity, because Jesus saw the hopeless condition of men and said, this is unacceptable. And so Jesus stepped in, went to the cross, shed his blood, gave his life, was raised from the dead, ascended to the right hand of the Father, so that we could have life. But deism said, God's really not paying that close of attention. Christianity says this: the Lord looks from heaven, and he sees all the sons of men. So the first thing that I want to share with you today is that God is watching you. He's watching me. It's not just that he is watching the things that we do. He knows the thoughts that we think and the intentions that we have in our heart. That means that even if you were to shut the doors, pull the blinds, turn out all the lights, that God would still be able to see you. At one point in time, thinking thoughts like that would have been hard to imagine, but with technology that is the way that it is now, people, you know, who are equipped, government agencies primarily and things like that, they can focus things through walls and pick up heat signatures and things like that. And again, this is primarily government agencies that would have that technology. But God knows everything that you are going through. When it talks about looking there, it means that God is not only observing, but he is considering, he's paying attention to. It says he sees all the sons of men. He perceives, he sees, he understands, and he is examining them. So when we stand before God, when our life is over, or the return of Christ happens, and we get raptured into the presence of the Lord, God is going to be judged, yes, but he is also the eyewitness. And it says here that when he looks, when he is observing and examining, that he is looking from a heavenly perspective or from a divine perspective, an eternal perspective. So when we look at something, we are restricted to height and depth and width, how it appears. Sometimes we can be determined, or we can determine by what it feels like. So there is some input of information, but it's not necessarily a complete picture. Sometimes our perspective is impacted by our own experiences, our failures, our hurts, our wounds. I watched, it was a streaming event many years ago, and it was talking about brain games, and it was showing that they would produce this image that had gaps in it, and when people looked at that image, their brain automatically filled in the gaps. It projected what should be there, even if it wasn't there. And it truly was a fascinating thing to watch, because I couldn't believe that I was seeing what I shouldn't be seeing. There was something missing, and my brain was projecting it as if it was there. There's things that show up and say, what color is this? And people will say, it's this color, or it's this color. Or you look at it and say, you know, what is this? And some people see this shape and some people that shape. We can be mistaken in our perception, but God, when he looks from heaven on everybody, it says all the sons of men and all the inhabitants of the earth. In other words, you are not obscured from God's vision. You are not exempt from God's examination. You are not hiding from him or concealing yourself from him. You are the subject of his personal interest, and he has divine, eternal perspective. He sees things not only from the three dimensions that we can focus on, the height, the depth, the width, but he also focuses on the eternal and the spiritual aspects of that. So God's perspective is never, never wrong. I've told you about the story that when I was a youth pastor, I saw somebody do something. I saw it with my very own eyes, and the person said, I didn't do that. And I said, dude, I just watched you do it. I didn't do that. And he was so convincing as a liar that if I had not seen it with my own eyes, I would not have believed that he would have done it. He was cold. He was calculating. He was unmoved. He was unintimidated by me at all. And, you know, you might be able to confuse the perception of men, but you are never going to confuse the perception of God. He is unmistakable in his perception. So when he looks at us, he does not look at us comparing ourselves with other humans. He doesn't look at us and, look on the accolades that we have received. He looks at us and says, what have you done with my son, Jesus? Have you accepted my gracious offer of forgiveness? Are you living your life in accordance with the revelation that you have received already? Because we shall see him as he is, and we should be like him because of what we've seen. So please understand that God has personal awareness of everything that you are facing in life, and the condition of your spirit. He's watching you. God the Holy Spirit is moving in your life to bring you to that place of accepting Jesus and growing in your faith in Jesus. so that Jesus can reconcile you to the Father. So those three things. God is watching. He's watching from heaven, and he's watching everybody. He can do that with undivided attention. You know, I don't know if you've ever watched a nature's documentary where, you know, one animal is being attacked by many other animals, and they can only focus on one of their attackers at a time. That's a limited ability to focus. God is unlimited in his ability to pay personal and intricate attention to the billions of people who are alive on planet Earth, and he doesn't want a single one of them to perish. So let's look at verse number 15. It says, he fashions their hearts individually. So this word fashions, it means to create or to form or to fashion. It describes a covenant relationship. This is the word that is used for a potter who would be making a vessel, forming a vessel. And that means that God's working on us. He works on all of us to bring us to development into who he wants us to be, who he created us to be. So I have a little comparison statement that is written down here that as I was preparing to come in to the radio station, it's this. Who or what is fashioning you? Is it God that is fashioning you, or is it the world that is fashioning you? Which one is doing the forming? Because the world would definitely like to groom you, to fashion you, to form you, to manipulate you into where you will be in bondage to the forms of this world. Where God, when he is fashioning us, he is fashioning us into holiness, into the image of what we were created to be. In other words, he wants us to live like Jesus, wants us to serve like Jesus, love like Jesus. He is wanting to bring us out of this clump of mire and form us into a vessel that he can use for his glory and for his praise. God is not only watching each of us as an individual, but he is forming us, shaping us, molding us, taking us from the obscure and the mundane, and he's forming us to be a vessel of honor, of holiness, a vessel of joy, and a vessel of love. So God is a hands-on God. You don't have to ask, God, where are you? He's right there with you. He's just waiting for you to cry out to him. So I'm looking at this passage. I'm looking at these words, looking them up in the lexicon. And it says, he fashions their hearts individually. And it is true. God is not looking to create a bunch of Bob Arthur's clones out there. Thank God. Okay? If you want something to thank God about today, thank God that I'm not God. And I'm going to thank God that I'm not God. And I'm also going to thank God that you're not God. Because I'm not perfect. I've got, you know, my flaws. They might not be the same flaws you got, but they're flaws nonetheless. They bug the thunder out of me. And so God is working. He disciplines those he loves. He fashions, he forms. If he finds a flaw, he takes it out and he goes right back to work. When a potter forms a vessel, he's making sure that the wheel that is going around that is helping to shape it is traveling at just the right speed, that there's just the right external pressure, as well as internal pressure. He's got a design in mind. He makes sure that there's the proper thickness to the walls. He makes sure that there's a proper level of hydration in the clay. And then he makes sure that when it comes time for the refiner's fire, that it's just the right temperature for just the right amount of time. God lovingly fashions us, even in adversity. And so if you're not careful, you would look at this and say, well, God made me just the way that I am, and therefore I'm okay having this stronghold in my life, even though it doesn't line up in the Word of God. My heart goes after this, and God individually fashioning my heart. But that's not what this word individually actually means. It means that God is fashioning the hearts of humanity, and He's working to align it together where we are seen as a group of individuals that are operating in one accord, with one heart, with one mind, with one goal, one purpose. And so if you look at that and say, hey, I've just got to be me, you've got to understand that God is looking to form you beyond just you as an individual. He's looking to form you to take your place in the body of Christ. It's not just about you being saved. It is about you fitting in the place that God designed for you to fit, so that more people can be reached, influenced, and discipled and growing in their relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't have to take my word for it. You go look it up yourself. It talks about that He fashions their hearts to where they're united, where there's one heart, they're in one accord, where they are fashioned in their hearts into a community in action. That's the premise of that word. And so I pray in 2023 that God will mold you, form you, and shape you, just not to where you have a heart for God, but you are being knit together with other believers into a wonderful body. Verse number 15 concludes like this. Again, I think these are five things. God looks on everyone. He's examining everyone. He looks with a divine perspective. He fashions our hearts not only as individuals, but he fashions us to where we fit together, work together, live together, serve together. And it says this: He, God, considers all their works. All their works. And so I like to say this: we do not work to earn our salvation. We work for Jesus because of our salvation. And so when God is looking from heaven, and He's looking at me, and He is looking at you, and He's looking at everybody on planet Earth, and He is looking with a divine, eternal perspective, and He knows that He's hands-on, and He is forming us, He is working in consideration of the works that were created, the good works that we were created to do before the foundation of the world. He's working for that. He's working, He is considering all our works and the final outcome of what those works are going to look like. So remember earlier we were talking about our limited perspective versus God's perfect perspective. And many times our perspective is deeply impacted because of the timeline that we are going through it. This little segment of our life. I can remember, let's see, what grade was it? was either 7th grade or 8th grade. I had when I was in grade school, we didn't get A's, B's, C's, D's, or E or F's. So didn't have E's, A, B, C, D, F's. I had never had anything that was unsatisfactory. And in grade school, everything was satisfactory. I think this must have been 8th grade when I had this particular class. And I can remember in my bedroom, which my brother and I shared a room, and it wasn't a large room. It was, not a large house at all. And I remember laying in bed weeping because I was about to get a C on an interim report card. I'd never had a C. I thought the world was coming to an end. And now I look at it and I see, you know what? That really wasn't that big a deal. It really did not matter in God's eternal perspective whether or not I got a C in woodshop, which is the class that it was. So today, if God is actively forming you to work you together, should we not be cooperating with God? And should we not also look at the process that he is working in our life and evaluate in our life, not to where we are right now in this moment, but what it's going to have a bearing for on our life for all of eternity? Forever is a very, very long time. Heaven is a perfect, glorious place. So I tell people, 100 years from now, most of your problems are not going to be problems at all. And don't let a temporary problem steal from you the forever blessings that God is working in your life to set you up so that you can experience. Let me say this. You've been set up by God, but you've been set up for success. The devil set you up for failure. God set you up for success. And his appearance of success looks vastly different than what the world's definition of success looks like. He's setting you up to spend eternity in his presence. So as you are looking and things and evaluating things, please understand it's not about a grade on a report card, not about the bank balance you have or the number of toys you own, or how much your house is worth. What is what God's doing in your life? How's that going to impact your eternity? What's the final outcome? I hope it is to God be the glory. Great things he's done. We'll see you tomorrow. Right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Sovereign.